This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
There are about 11 Flint equivalent issues in towns across America at any given time. And so when you really look at our ability to go and enable those underserved communities, wherever they are, to leapfrog their infrastructure, it really evidences the power of what Source does and the power of what it means to perfect water for every person, every place.
In our household, we do our best to avoid buying bottled water. We're keenly aware of what those darn plastic bottles are doing to the environment. Instead, we just drink our tap water. It's safe and delicious because we live in San Francisco, and our water is sourced from the magnificent Hetch Hetchy Reservoir. But not everyone in the United States can rely on their tap water to be safe. The horrifying reports of lead-tainted water in Flint, Michigan, and other locations across the United States are a stark reminder of the inadequacy of local water infrastructure. What alternative do communities like that have? My guest today on Sea Change Radio believes he has an answer. Zero Mass Water CEO and founder Cody Friesen has launched a product called Source, which uses special solar panels called hydropanels to transform humidity in the air into enough drinking water for most families to live comfortably. Friesen describes how his company's technology works, even in arid climates, how much it costs, and what it could mean for populations who rely too heavily on bottled water. I'm joined now by the founder and CEO of Zero Mass Water, Cody Friesen. Cody, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Hey, Alex, how are you doing today?
Great. A pleasure to have you on the show. So Zero Mass Water is a very intriguing idea. Why don't you spell out the basics for our listeners in terms of the technology?
Sure. Well, we founded Zero Mass Water to just change people's relationship with water and really to sort of perfect water for every person, every place. I think most people appreciate that water is sort of imperfect everywhere. In the U.S., we have something like 1.2 million miles of lead pipes that are going to take over $1 trillion to replace, and 750 water main breaks a day. And that's just here domestically. And when we think about globally, you're talking about one person dying from waterborne illness every 10 seconds. And so when we think about technology leapfrogging all sorts of challenges, whether it's communication or information or energy, those are now happening today. And up till now, water sort of didn't have that leapfrog.
Describe your hydropanel technology if you can.
Yeah, so Source is, as you indicated, a hydropanel. And that name is intended to signify that it's a solar panel. It looks very much like a traditional solar panel for electricity, but it does something very different, which is it takes sunlight and air and produces perfect drinking water effectively anywhere on the planet. And it does so entirely independent of infrastructure, right? So no pipe connection coming in, no electrical connection coming in, only the water vapor in the air and sunlight powering it to make up to basically in a standard two-panel array that we would put on a house in the U.S., up to a case of bottled water a day. So a lot of drinking water from a relatively small footprint. And the panels themselves, Source panels, produce pure water that we then mineralize to basically perfect the taste and healthfulness of the water that we are producing.
And explain the mission of your company. I'm guessing that your low-hanging fruit are developed countries and higher-income people who are environmentally conscious. But once Zero Mass Water has picked up more mass, so to speak, you'll be able to bring that technology to those in need who are in much more dire need of water. Is that a fair estimate?
Yeah, think about sort of the three grand challenges of water. Are sort of no transparency about what's in the water that you either buy in a bottle or get from a municipal source, really non-convenience, and then sort of this broken infrastructure problem. And that sort of exists in the U.S. on the high end, and it exists across the spectrum of from wealthy folks to more modest income folks. When we think about bottled water specifically, the numbers are staggering. So half a trillion liters of bottled water are sold globally every year. And really, well-regarded institutions like the Pacific Institute and Cal Recycle have looked at the energy content in bottled water. And so what they've come to is somewhere between 4 and 10 megajoules per liter of energy between the bottle, the water, and the transportation. And when you convert that 4 to 10 megajoules per liter into CO2 footprint, you're talking about 1 to 2 kilograms of CO2 per liter bottled water. It's a massive problem from a GHG perspective, not to mention the massive plastic issue, petrochemicals, the healthfulness of bottled water sometimes can be suspect. And so when you look at that half a trillion liters sold, equating to a massive CO2 footprint globally, and you look at sort of why people buy bottled water, it's a rational and logical choice to buy bottled water today, in the same way that burning coal for electricity made a lot of sense until solar got to where it's at, right? Mm-hmm. And now it doesn't make sense. And so with Source, it makes a heck of a lot of sense to no longer buy that bottled water. And when we look at the U.S., as you indicated, sort of the high-end consumer, the payback periods with Source are between 2 and 4 years. So very, very rapid payback. And then we look at emerging markets, of which we're already in many, where people are also buying bottled water, the payback is still relatively fast. And so today we're now in 9 countries, ranging from the Middle East to Latin America to Australia and Southeast Asia. And when you look across that footprint, environmental factor footprint and across the kind of spectrum of income levels, we're really kind of really getting down the path of solving water for people in a way that just wasn't possible before Source existed.
So I want to understand the technology a little bit better. So explain how your solar panels convert the sun and water vapors in the air into drinking water.
Sure. I think all of us have experience with water vapor in the air in a couple different ways, right? When it's relatively humid outside, if you have a cold glass of iced tea, you'll note that water condenses and forms dew on the outside of that glass, right? And of course, that's a major contributor to warming that glass of iced tea up. The other place where we have experience with water vapor is with some of the materials around us that, and the big term here is, are hygroscopic. And so some of those materials are things like sugar, rice, salt, cotton. And so if you were to leave a lid off of a sugar bowl, you'll notice that the sugar starts to clump. And that clumping is happening because that sugar likes water molecules so much that it absorbs the water vapor from the air. And that occurs whether that sugar bowl is sitting in the Sonoran Desert in the American Southwest or in the American Northeast in Boston, right? Independent of the relative humidity, that sugar is still absorbing that water vapor. And so there's an opportunity with materials that have that property to concentrate the water vapor from the air in a way that you couldn't do by just direct condensation. And so what we did is develop a set of nanostructured materials that are highly hygroscopic. So they love water. And because they love water and we structured them in a certain way, we can make the rate at which they pull up water much, much faster. So taking that set of physics and that set of material science and applying that to the thermodynamics necessary using sunlight to take the water vapor back out of those materials, we can actually make liquid water from water vapor that is very dilute. So even under desert conditions, we can make a lot of drinking water from a very small footprint.
Yes, I need a little. butter of love. Water of love, deep in the ground, but there ain't no water here to be found. Someday, baby, when the river runs free, it's gonna carry that water of love to me.
Follow the shift to sustainability with Sea Change Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/SeaChangeRadio and on our Facebook page.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to the founder and CEO of Zero Mass Water, Cody Friesen. So, Cody, explain how somebody could become a Zero Mass Water customer. How does it work and what does it cost?
So today you can go on to zeromasswater.com and click on the Get Yours link and go directly into our e-commerce page and purchase source for your family. A typical source array is a two-panel array, and that two-panel array all in is $4,500, including installation. And that $4,500 means that you'll have two panels installed on your roof, and those two panels would provide up to 10 liters of drinking water per day, which is about 20 standard bottles per day. So enough water for your drinking needs, cooking needs, and so on. And that water is the same composition and taste as some of the top bottled water brands in the world.
And how long would it take for an average family to make that a cost-effective purchase?
So people that are buying bottled water for their families, the payback is between 2 and 4 years, depending on obviously the brand and quality of water that they're purchasing. So the payback periods are fast. And more importantly, or as importantly, the water quality that they're getting, they know that that's perfected water, and it's convenient. It's right there at the tap. There's no going to the store and lugging the flats of bottled water and putting them in the back of the car on a weekly basis. And so there's a convenience factor, there's a quality factor, and then just the knowledge that you're offsetting a dramatic amount of CO2 every year, about 3.5 metric tons per panel every year from that bottled water offset.
Can your panels work in concert with regular solar panels that produce electricity on a home? How would that work?
Yeah, absolutely. So Source takes up a really small footprint. And so if a family already has an array of solar panels on their roof, our array would sit next to that. And so now a family can have not only ownership over their electricity, but also water independence around the water they drink. And so it actually works really beautifully in concert because our footprint is much, much smaller than a typical solar array.
And people who purchase the Source panels would get a similar tax credit, depending on their state, to what they would get with a solar panel. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And the other beautiful thing is that in addition to getting that tax credit, we pay back much, much faster than typical solar. So the other factors when you put up solar on your roof is that obviously you have a grid interconnection, and the typical solar electricity is sort of use it or lose it, right? Unless you have a big battery, if you're not using electricity you're producing at noon, that electricity just goes back into the grid. You may or may not get paid for that. With Source, we have a 30 liter or sort of 60 bottle equivalent reservoir on each panel. And so the day-to-day variations and the water that you produce in the middle of the day is stored for your use later. So it's like having basically a 7-day battery integrated into that solar panel. And so in a lot of ways, it's a direct solar to resources type technology. And so you're not going sort of through the intermediary of electricity, which is sort of powerful. And when you have solar on your roof, traditional solar, you never really get to interact with it in a way that kind of reminds you that it's there, right? You might have a little bit reduced electricity bill cost, but that's really the way that you know you have solar. Whereas with Source, every single day when you're filling up your water at your sink or using Source water to cook with, you're experiencing the power of renewable energy in a way that really you haven't been able to experience before. And so when you have a glass that you can hold and it's got basically solar energy stored in it in a way that you can you can feel the weight of, that's a really palpable sensation, and sort of the idea that you are offsetting, really a dramatic amount of greenhouse gases and plastic waste. And of course, you are set up for, from the point of view of natural disasters, if you're in a hurricane region and so on. So there's a lot of elements to having your own totally grid independent water supply that really kind of change your life.
And how would someone tap into their water reservoir? Is it integrated right into their faucet, or is there a special link connected to the reservoir and the kitchen?
Yeah, Alex, if you and I were installing source on your roof, you and I would take about probably an hour to install two panels. And then what we would do is it's a 3/8 inch line that then runs down to what used to be your filter tap on your sink or to your refrigerator. And that would then connect directly into that. We have a 80 PSI pump that is providing the water pressure. So from a user perspective, the water comes to you in a way that's very similar to the water pressure from your municipal supply. You don't sense that difference. But what you do sense is, of course, the quality of that water. When you drink it, it's got a sort of a soft mouthfeel when it first enters your mouth. And then when you swallow, it's very crisp. So it's very refreshing water.
And can you give us an idea of where you are as a company in terms of headcount, and are you profitable or are you venture backed, et cetera?
Yeah, so we're actually in heavy growth mode right now. So we're, we started out this year in 5 countries. We're exiting 2017 in 9 countries. We now just gone online. So the rate of growth, both in terms of headcount and number of panels deployed in countries and so on, is just going gangbusters. Because I think people are starting to see the opportunity of what it means to really have independence around your water and security around sort of perfected water. We are venture backed and migrating very quickly to being a business that is self-sustaining.
And how many people work at Zero Mass Water?
Today we're about 75 people, but again, we're growing very, very quickly.
And can you give us an idea of the competitive landscape? Are there other companies that do something like this?
At any given time, there are a number of so-called atmospheric water generator companies, which are basically like your air conditioner, right? So you plug the thing in and it makes a cold surface and you condense water from the air in that way. The challenge there is that it's relatively inefficient and only works when the humidity is high. With us, it works under a much wider range of humidity conditions and, again, without any electrical connection. But anybody who is helping to solve the grand challenge of water globally is, I'm a fan of them. In my book, it's they're good people.
Sunny. Yesterday, my life was filled with rain. Sunny. You smiled at me and really eased the pain. Now the dark days are done and the bright days are here. My sunny one shines so sincere. Sunny one so true, I love you. Sunny, thank you for the sunshine bouquet. Sunny, thank you for the love you've brought my way. You gave to me your all in all, and now I feel 10 feet tall. Sunny one so true, I love you.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to Cody Friesen. He's the founder and CEO of Zero Mass Water. So Cody, earlier in the conversation, we talked about the need for clean drinking water in so many places in the world. Maybe you can explain how your company could work with NGOs and nonprofits to provide your technology to people in need.
One of the really cool parts of us having developed Source so that it's entirely independent of infrastructure, again, no pipe connection, no electrical connection, means that we can just show up. So as an example, when Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico, we were there almost immediately sending panels in because we could put them in place and start providing water to people immediately, even though all of the infrastructure was down. And we're continuing to send panels to Puerto Rico. In many other places in the world, there's sort of constant challenges around infrastructure. In the U.S., we have underserved communities. Everybody knows about Flint, but of course, there are about 11 Flint equivalent issues in towns across America at any given time. And so when you really look at our ability to go and enable those underserved communities, wherever they are, to leapfrog their infrastructure, it really evidences the power of what Source does and the power of what it means to perfect water for every person, every place.
So how does Source water taste? I know that a lot of the marketing behind bottled water is how they have perfected the mineral mixture, and it comes from these ancient caves in France. Also, we've done pieces on water districts, how they try to find a good blend of minerals and purity to provide a product that tastes good to consumers. How does Zero Mass Water's product stack up?
Yeah, one of the things that we did very early on in the technology development is go and look at a whole spectrum of bottled waters and other water sources. And we did elemental analysis on a huge range of existing bottled water and, you know, other sources of water. And so we were able to sort of really start to understand deeply what minerals, what electrolytes, what pH, et cetera, really dials in the taste profile and the healthfulness of the water that we produce. And one of the advantages that we have over, you know, pulling water out of a spring or, you know, from a municipal supply is that when Source first produces the water, it's pure water. It's effectively distilled. So we're really starting with a clean slate, if you will. And so then we can add in minerals and change the pH to taste. And so what we did is develop a mineral cartridge that adds calcium and magnesium and brings the pH up to about 8 or 8.1. And so that slightly alkaline nature of the water that we produce and the addition of calcium and magnesium brings that profile of the way that it feels when you drink it, which is that sort of softness in the front of your palate. And then also because it's low TDS or total dissolved solids, it means that once you've swallowed it, it's very crisp. So it's really a very refreshing sensation. And it's really neat to see people drink it for the first time and kind of get that look on their face of, oh, wow, that's really good.
Yes, because reading about it, you'd think it tastes like distilled water or something, but it sounds like you've taken that into account.
Yeah, we recognized that the way that we were approaching making Source water, that we were going to end up with, you know, really very, very pure water, which is a great thing because we leave behind anything that might be in the air, we leave it in the air. We don't bring it in. But that also means that with that very pure water, there's an opportunity to create whatever water we wanted. And so we really decided to make that part of what we'll be known for over time as sort of the best tasting water on the planet.
And does the taste and quantity vary depending on humidity levels? You're based in Arizona, right? That's pretty arid. How would that compare to Seattle, let's say?
Yeah, the taste does not vary based on where we're at. The taste is entirely determined by the way that we've set up the mineral cartridge. And that actually has been something that we really spent a lot of time on, was making sure that whether the water was in the reservoir for an hour or in the reservoir for a month, it had exactly the same composition. And that actually took some, you know, really sophisticated intellectual property development to get it there. From the point of view of water production, when we're in a dry place like in Arizona, where it's dry but it's also very sunny, we have a lot of solar power to sort of drive that side of the equation much more efficiently, even though the amount of water vapor is less, so that side of the equation is less efficient. Whereas when we're in a place like Seattle or Guayaquil, Ecuador, the humidity is very, very high, so that side of the equation is very efficient. But then there's less sunlight, so that side, the power side of the equation, is less efficient. So what we found is that across the globe, while our microcontroller has to constantly watch those parameters to optimize the amount of water we're producing, we actually get a pretty narrow band of water production across a very wide range of Earth-relevant conditions. And that range can be anywhere from 2 to 5 liters a day. So in the driest conditions, you need typically about 2 liters a day. And in the kind of wettest, sunniest conditions, you know, right at the equator, you might be at, you know, over 5 liters a day. So that's kind of the range. And a typical home you would see on a single panel on the neighborhood of 3.5 to 4.5 liters a day, which is, again, kind of 7 to 9 bottles per day per panel. And we do 2 panels per house. So, you know, you're really up in that kind of case of bottled water per day per array on a house.
So, Cody, let's put a human face on your product for a minute. You mentioned how you're in 9 countries. Explain how your product is making an impact with the most vulnerable.
Yeah, it's probably been the most beautiful and humbling aspect of building Zero Mass Water has been really seeing the faces of the people that need source the most, having, you know, and having a huge impact on their lives. A really good example is we've installed arrays now in northern Lebanon with at schools and orphanages for Syrian refugees, and that's with support of USAID. And that, for example, at that orphanage, there are about 50 kids who are newly parentless, and you know, you're talking about some of the most vulnerable people on the planet who have lost their country, have lost their families. And there's a water issue in northern Lebanon. So there's a resiliency challenge from an environmental perspective, and there's a resiliency problem from a political perspective. And so these kids are really left behind. So when we installed these arrays on the roof of this orphanage, they went from having many, many challenges, including water, to having perfect water. And of course, as a result, not being sick from the water they were drinking and really avoiding at least that challenge in their lives. So when I think about what we're doing at Zero Mass, it's so much more than displacing bottled water. Of course, that's a huge economic driver. It's a huge environmental driver. But there's also this really deep human need to help lift up people who are most vulnerable. And Source does that.
The company is Zero Mass Water. Folks can find it at zeromasswater.com. We'll link to it at seachangeradio.com. And the founder and CEO is Cody Friesen. Cody, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Hey, Alex, thank you so much.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Samford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by Eddie Harris, Dire Straits, and Bobby Hebb. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.